Going to be reading from several different places in the Bible this morning, starting with Mark 8, 27 through 30. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then Acts 16, 11 through 15. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, and following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. Then Hebrews 11, 8 through 22. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed from a time into the land he had been promised, and as in foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promise, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham went to put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, "It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you." He considered the fact that God is able to raise someone from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings for the future on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his burial. We're talking about faith and God directing our footsteps and leading us on a path that he has laid out for us. Even though we may not know what that path is, we know that Jesus is the Messiah. He is there to advocate for us, along with the Holy Spirit, and we know that God promises us that he will take care of us and lead us where we need to go. There's a story of a seminary student back in World War II who was preparing to be a military chaplain. One day he found this used bookstore and went inside this bookstore and found a book on how to speak Russian. He thought, well, that's kind of interesting. So he picked up the book, and being somewhat of an introvert, he wasn't one of those that went out and had fun with his friends or whatever. He stayed in his room and read. So in seminary, he's sitting there in the evenings and kind of studying this book on how to speak Russian. After graduation, when he was finally inducted into the Army and became a chaplain, he was sent to Europe, and part of his battalion that at one point got into a fierce battle. And that night, he's laying there on his cot in his bedroll, no tent. He's looking up at the stars and wondering why God put him here. wasn't sure about his purpose in life. When all of a sudden, one of the medics comes running up to him and says, "We need you. There is a soldier who has been gravely injured and is frantically scared." So he gets up and he goes with the medic, and they find this soldier that none of the medics can understand. But he realizes that the man is speaking Russian. And having studied this book on how to speak Russian, he knew enough to understand what he was saying. And he was able to comfort this Russian soldier, and he stayed with him until, unfortunately, the Russian soldier passed on. But he was able to give comfort to him. And when he went back to his cot and his bedroll, and he's looking up at the stars, and he thinks to himself, they are much brighter than they used to be. And he thinks to himself, now I understand why I stumbled into this little used bookstore and found this book on how to speak Russian. God knew at some point in my future I was going to be needed to comfort this Russian soldier. Now I'm going to ask you, do you think that's a coincidence? Or do you think that's providence? Well, I'll tell you personally, I do not believe in coincidence. Everything that happens, happens because God has a reason for it to happen. It's all about providence. You may not understand it when it happens to you, some little odd thing that happens in your life, and you think, why? Until later when something occurs and you think to yourself, that's why that happened, to prepare me for now. There's no such thing as coincidence. It's all about providence. And it's all about letting God direct our path. We have to be willing to let Him direct us. There's an antelope, a type of antelope called the African impala. This African impala is able to leap 10 feet into the air and can also leap approximately 30 feet when they jump. But did you know you can keep this impala in a zoo in a wall 3 foot high? I'm not talking about a fence. I'm talking about a wall 3 foot high. Even though they can jump 10 feet, they won't go outside this pen with this wall because they can't see where they're going to land. And if they can't see where they're going to land, they won't jump. Does that sound familiar? Look before you leap. How many of us are like that? We don't want to do something if we don't know what the end result is. We don't want to go somewhere if we don't know where we're going to wind up. And that's where the phrase taking the leap of faith comes in. Do you trust God to get you where you're going? Do you trust God's not going to make you jump somewhere where you're going to hurt yourself when you land? That's the leap of faith. We have to trust that God is going to get us where He wants us and not worry about the plan. We can't worry about the plan. There's another little story about a boy in a burning building, and his dad is down at the bottom saying, "Jump, jump, I'll catch you." And the little boy says, because I can't see you because of all the smoke. The dad goes, "Yes, son, I realize that, but I can see you." Think about that. God can see us. We can't see Him. But we know He's there, and we know He's going to catch us if we jump. Same thing. By faith, Abraham left his home because God said, "I want you to go on this journey." He had no earthly idea where he was going. But because he had faith and he trusted God, he let God direct his steps. Took him to a place where he wandered around for a little while, but then provided for him. Gave him the son that, from a scientific point of view, he shouldn't have been able to have. Him and his wife were too old. She was past that time when you can have children. But God provided. And then God said, "Now I want you to take this son that I've provided for you, and I want you to take him and sacrifice him. And Abraham's got to be thinking, are you nuts? But he did what God asked him to do because he had faith that God would take care of it. The scripture tells us that he entertained the idea that, well, God could raise him from the dead. And kind of in a way, he did, because he saved him from Abraham stabbing him and sacrificing him, and then provided the lamb for the sacrifice. You have to trust. You have to have faith. Our society, our world today is desperate for people of faith. You look around you, you look at what's happening in our world, and people see the things that are going on and they think, where's God? They've lost faith. We've let things happen that we shouldn't have let happen. Our world is full of politicians and barren of prophets. We need people that are going to speak up for God, to be God's voice, to speak for God, listening to what He has to say to them and going where He wants them to go. There was a movie came out a few years ago called Amistad. It's about a ship that had kidnapped a bunch of African slaves, chained them up, and was on their way to the U.S. One of them happened to get loose and freed the rest of them. And so they took over the ship. The problem was they didn't know how to navigate a ship. So the crew managed to trick them, and they wound up getting recaptured when they came to port. And they were arrested and prosecuted for having stolen the ship and for having harmed the crew. And this went on for 27 months. In the legal system, until it finally reached the Supreme Court. And John Quincy Adams, who was a former president, he happened to be representing these slaves. And as he's standing before the Supreme Court, he tells the justices, "Last night I spoke with my friend. I told him what was to transpire here today. He told me, as was the practice among his people, he had been talking to his ancestors, now long gone. And they told him all would be well." John Quincy Adams again turned to the justices and said, "As I stand before you today, I believe we would do well to learn from him. We would do well to talk to our ancestors." And he went on to invoke the names of the founding fathers and invoke the names of earlier Supreme Court justices. And after he named each one, he would speak one single word, "Gone." And when he finished calling out all the names of these illustrious people, he looked at the Supreme Court and said, "All of them are gone. Who among you is ready to step into their legacy and defend freedom? Who is prepared to take the place of our ancestors and become great in the name of God and this great nation once again?" He was giving them a sterling reminder of the faith that their ancestors had in freedom, and a challenge that people of his time demonstrate that same kind of faith. I would challenge you to do the same thing. Show the faith of our predecessors, our ancestors. Show the faith that our mothers had, and our grandmothers, and our great-grandmothers. They took care of us. They brought us to church. They had faith that God was going to take care of us. We need to rely on that kind of faith. Look to our mothers and grandmothers. It turns out a week later, the Supreme Court, with one dissenting vote, declared them innocent. They said that because they had been kidnapped and chained in this ship, they were merely defending themselves. So John Quincy Adams, in what he was telling the Supreme Court, about you should stand up and be faithful and great again worked. It's an amazing story. And we can make ourselves great and faithful by following that. Just like our predecessors, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and Rahab and Gideon, they all had great faith. And they did what God wanted them to do. Now, these weren't perfect people. Far from it for some of them. Abraham was a liar. David lied and had a man killed in a roundabout way. But they were faithful, they loved God, and God knew they loved him, and they were willing to do what God told them to do. Sometimes he picks people that are just common, everyday people to do things for him. But you have to have the faith to do those things he asks you to do. If you and I are not willing to be champions for God's kingdom, where are we headed? We need to have heroes of faith in our society. We need to have heroes of faith that are going to get out there and spread the gospel. We could be heroes of faith if we just listen for God's voice. There's a NPR program, or there was at one time, called The American Life, hosted by John Hodgman. He proposed a question, kind of an unscientific survey. He said, if you were given the ability to be invisible or the ability to fly, which would you choose? Think about that for a minute. Which would you rather be able to do, be invisible or be able to fly? Sad thing is, what he discovered was it didn't really matter what they chose. They chose it for selfish reasons. They didn't choose invisibility or the ability to fly, these supernatural powers, if you will, to help others. They didn't choose them to further God's kingdom. They chose them in purely self-serving ways. Those that chose invisibility thought, well, I can now sneak into the department store and steal sweaters. I can spy on my coworkers. I can stalk my exes. I can eavesdrop on conversations. People who chose the ability to fly said, well, I can stop taking the bus and I can give up the car and I can check out the bar scene by flying in and around or flying off to Paris or Rio or wherever I wanted to go for me. They didn't choose them things to help God. They chose them to help themselves. And we live in a me generation. It's what's in it for me. What am I going to get out of this? And we shouldn't be that way. We need to be there for God, the way God is there for us. Nelson Mandela, when he became president of South Africa, one of the quotes from him is, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. And we are. We are powerful beyond measure. Jesus says, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And I don't expect you to be moving mountains, but we need to have faith. We need to trust God. We need to realize we have power beyond measure. Power to do heroic things for our faith. Power to jump and not know where we're going to land. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went. Had no clue where he was going. And if God leads you someplace where you have no clue where you're going, Do you trust him to get you there? Do you trust him to take care of you once you get there? Abraham did. Charles Allen tells the story of a young pastor who had taken over a little country church. And he's sitting there one day with this elderly member of the congregation, and they're just visiting, and this elderly man is telling him about the community, the church, the congregation. He says, you know, at one time, nestled in these Tennessee mountains, the beautiful forests and mountains and all these natural things of God, people thought this was great, and that's all they thought about. But one day, the mailman delivered a department store catalog, a picture catalog. And they started looking at it. And they started looking at the beautiful things that they could have. And eventually, all the people in the community ordered their own little picture catalogs so that they could look through them and think about those things and wish. And they forgot about the beauty of nature, the beauty of God, the forests and the mountains and all the beauty of nature around them, because they got concentrating into this picture catalog. And that's kind of the way we are today. We look at the world around us and we see earthly beauty. And we've lost our connection with heavenly beauty, the beauty that God provides us. We've got to get back to God. We've got to get back to faith. We've got to do what God wants us to do and not worry about where we're going. The verses I read about Paul and Lydia at the river, there are a lot of Lydias out there for us to find. They're waiting for us to reach out to them with the love of Christ. They're waiting for God to guide us to them. Instead of being a me generation, we should be a you generation, a God generation. We should be looking out for each other. We should be doing those things which God wants us to do. We should follow the example of our mothers. Our mothers, they give up a lot to see that we have what we need. They give a lot to make sure we're on the right path. Our mothers are always there for us. I like to think mothers are like God on earth. He created mothers to be like him so that they could take care of us. We need to be more like our mothers and care for the world and care for each other and be willing to give up to provide for others. It's about faith. It's about trust, and it's about letting God direct our paths. We can do that if you just let loose and let God guide you. We honor our mothers today because they had those kinds of faith and trust, and they loved us and took care of us. Amen.